Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBCSportsChicago.com. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined as always by Paul Aspen and Cam Ellis. Cam, you are behind Buster's screen in the non-TSA pre-check security line at O'Hara
last week. Yeah, just the normal person security. I was there standing in line waiting to get screened. And I'm out of this podcast. No, and then I saw someone, and like, he was like wearing the suit he was wearing. And I was like, I know who you are, but I can't place it. And then
saw that Instagram post.
I did, literally. Like, 2 minutes later, I was on Instagram, and I was like, oh, that's how I know you. So that's my fun bear story.
Buster Screen at the airport.
Goes to O'Hare sometimes.
Yeah. Probably hates O'Hare just as much as we all hate O'Hare.
We both made eye contact and we're like, we're both really miserable.
Yeah. It's the worst. Welcome.
Yeah. Enjoy your time here.
All right. Well, a guy who we didn't get to talk about last week who joined the Bears is HaHa Clinton Dix, who signed a one-year deal worth a reported $3.5 million with the Bears on Friday. We haven't really had a chance to break that down. So let's start the podcast there. As soon as I saw the Bears are signing HaHa Clinton Dix for 1 year, before even seeing what the money was, I tweeted, this is a good move.
Yep.
Because this is what good teams do to fill a hole, is they sign a guy for 1 year, and you know what, if he's good, they either extend him, like the Eagles did with Alshon Jeffrey, or you let him go, and you let him get that big contract elsewhere. But to sign a player of HaHa Clinton Dix's caliber, to me, is a really good move, given the money and given the length. There's very little risk involved in this. And I know Packers fans will tell me that he missed a lot of tackles last year, and he took a lot of bad angles, and it looked like he didn't really care.
Sounds like they already did tell you that on Twitter.
Oh, several times, yes. But HaHa Clinton Dix is a guy who had, at the time the Packers traded him, he had 3 interceptions in 7 games. He is 14 in his career. That's significantly more than Adrian Amos has had in his career. So if we're talking about this as the guy who's replacing Adrian Amos, maybe you're giving up some assignment discipline and tackling ability for better ball production. And to me, given the money, given both those two guys, that's a good trade-off for the Bears to make just when you look at the overall contracts given to both guys. So what do we think about this?
I had the exact same reaction, JJ, when I saw the 1 year. I was like, I love this. I mean, we were kidding a couple weeks ago. We were like, Landon Collins, Eddie Jackson, Roll Tide. Yeah. Hey, we still get the Roll Tide.
Baby.
Yeah.
And then the money, like, I am still dumbfounded. Like, yeah. I'm no Bobby Axelrod, but just looking at the safety market, like, Kenny Vaccaro's getting 4 for $26. I figured this is at least being that 8, 9, 10. Yep. And I'd be thrilled with it then.
Right.
This might be the best free agent signing of the entire offseason.
Yeah.
And I love it. I can't love it anymore. I think it's definitely a win for the Bears if you're comparing it to Adrian Amos because of the different, where those different teams are. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're telling me you got HaHa Clinton Dix for 3.5 for a year compared to what, and good for Adrian Amos.
Right.
But everything JJ said, I just can't echo it anymore. I love that it continues to add more fuel to the rivalry.
Right, yeah.
I am just totally in on this. And honestly, you think of Clinton Dix as more of a coverage guy, but if you look back at how he's graded out, he's been a pretty good tackler.
Yeah.
If you look at the first, like towards the end of his tenure with the Packers, it looked pretty bad, and that just tells me it's a guy that checked out of that team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's not your typical strong safety, but I think he's going to fit very beautifully in his Bears defense.
Yeah, and if we are to believe what he said, he took less money to come to the Bears. It's a win for the Bears culture here that they're in the phase when people are taking less money to contend.
I'm not sure that's true or not. So I was the one who asked the question to HaHa on the conference call about that, and my initial thought wasn't like he turned down an Adrian Amos contract.
Okay. Sure.
It was like
right.
He might have turned down a 2 to 3 year deal worth, I don't know, $15 million from Washington or something to come to the Bears. So it's not like we're talking about a significantly less amount of money, but to Paul, to your point, Let me just read you the safeties who got bigger deals than Ha Ha Clinton Dix.
There we go.
Landon Collins, 6 years, $84 million. Earl Thomas, 4 years, $55 million. Tyrann Mathieu, 3 years, $42 million. LaMarcus Joyner, 4 years, $42 million. Oof. Adrian Amos, 4 years, $36 million. Kareem Jackson, 3 years, $33 million. Kenny Vaccaro, 4 years, $26 million. I am not done yet. Tashaun Gibson, 3 years, $22.55 million. Eric Weddle, 2 years, $10,502,050, exactly according to SpotTrack. Antoine Bethea, who's 35, 2 years, $6.5 million from the genius New York Giants, and Jimmy Ward, 1 year, $4.5 million for the San Francisco 49ers.
I have nothing further to add.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see you after the break.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of incredible that Ryan Pace should be commended for going in. This position was the one position this offseason that was blowing up. The market was blowing up, and he was able to find a real high upside for the exact opposite of where the market was trending. And I think it's just maybe he doesn't pan out. Maybe there's the end of the Packers versus the Redskins time is maybe that is what he is now. Maybe he was checked out of a bad Packers team and a really bad Redskins team. Regardless of what happens, it's a savvy move right now.
Yeah, I just think it's the potential. Look, I guess it could backfire, right. But I mean with that front seven, and I mean the way he fits in, he's much more than just a guy. And we were talking about the possibility that they might just need a guy to fill that spot, and just the combination with Eddie Jackson. They crossed over for a year at Alabama. I mean, it was interesting to hear him say Clinton Dix said that the Bears were an Eddie Jackson away from probably making a Super Bowl run, and I mean maybe they've got that. This is going to be a ridiculous comparison, but a Jordan Pippen, know where the other's going to be on the field sort of thing that, you know, if you play with a guy, you just kind of know those things. And they're both ball hawks that'll take chances.
I had been kind of talking about this, about how losing Adrian Amos creates kind of a chemistry gap.
Yep.
Where if you get, you can have just a guy there, but Amos and Jackson had such good chemistry in the back end. They played every single game, almost every single defensive snap together from the start of the 2017, or I guess when Quinton Demps got hurt in 2017 up to when Jackson got hurt in 2018. They had such a good pairing back there that Clinton Dix, they played a little together at Alabama, but Clinton Dix was the one who recruited Eddie Jackson to Alabama. He was the host when Jackson visited Alabama. Also, fun fact about Eddie Jackson, when he visited Alabama, 3-star wide receiver recruit, according to Rivals. I think Nick Saban knows what he's doing.
Reading the Eddie Jackson scouting reports going into Chicago are hilarious. They're all just negatives of what he's extremely good at now. I think it's so funny. Yeah,
that's great.
That's pretty good. And I think to get back to the chemistry part, that is an immediate benefit to this. Now, the worst case scenario is that Ha Ha Clinton Dix is out there blowing coverages left and right. You can't count on him. You have to bench him. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, that is such an extreme on one end that, to me, it's almost just as likely on the other end that he has 5 interceptions and make a Pro Bowl like he did in 2016. We're talking about a guy he'll turn 27 on December 21st.
Yeah.
This is a guy who is not over the hill age-wise. I know a lot of Packers fans, again, have been telling me that it's hard to be in your prime when you're missing tackles left and right. But this is the same knee-jerk reaction that Bears fans have when they say Adrian Amos was the worst starter on the Bears defense last year. It's like this battle for each fan base to tell the other fan base that their player sucks more. Right. And it's just both players are good. The Bears are barely paying Ha Clinton Dix. They're not paying him any guaranteed money past this year. The Packers, I mean, Adrian Amos does not have that much guaranteed money on his deal, but that still is a commitment. I think it's $11 or $12 million guaranteed for Amos.
Yep.
So, to me, guys get paid for interceptions, and the Bears are getting, for every interception that Ha Ha Clinton Dix had last year, the Bears are paying him $1.17 million.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. Yeah.
And if they get, let's assume that Packers version Ha Ha Clinton Dix was totally checked out the last couple games he played there. If they get Washington version Clinton Dix, I'm still fine with this deal.
He's got better players around him now.
People were resigned to the fact that maybe Deion Bush is the new starter. And that was where they were at, and they were sort of starting to convince themselves. And now that's not the case. And regardless of how he plays, that right now it looks great.
Yeah, Ha Ha Clinton Dix playing with you look at the linebacker pairing the Packers had last year with Nick Perry and Clay Matthews, two guys who are probably over the hill, two guys who maybe will fit with the Bears, who knows?
Yeah, right.
As rotational guys. And then you go to Washington, Preston Smith, got that big deal from the Packers, only had 4 sacks. You come to the Bears, you have Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks. You got some dogs, to use a term that every single player on the Bears defense uses to describe their teammates.
Yep.
They've got some guys who can get after the quarterback, and that only helps a ball-hawking defensive back.
Yep. I've exhausted my thrilled about Clinton Dix.
I approve of it.
Great. Let's talk about punters.
Yes, let's do it.
Cam has been fired up about this segment, trying to find something interesting to talk about with a punter. The Bears reportedly retaining Pat O'Donnell for 2 years and $4 million. A year ago, they kept him for 1 year and $1.5 million, and then they brought in Ryan Winslow for a punting competition during training camp that Pat O'Donnell won. To me, this is a signal that the Bears are probably sticking with O'Donnell, at least for this year. I haven't seen the figures on what his contract will be. 2 years doesn't necessarily mean that there's so much guaranteed money that the Bears wouldn't, you know, mind cutting him. Look, I think a lot of the issue with Pat O'Donnell that I had went down to that last punt that he had in the playoff game against the Eagles, where he shanked it and it gave Philadelphia a short field that they went down and converted into a touchdown. Otherwise, Pat O'Donnell did kick relatively well last year. He averaged 45 yards per punt. A lot of that, though, was directional punting. It wasn't like in previous years where the Bears offense would go 3 and out at the 25-yard line and you have to boom a punt downfield. This was a lot of drives that stalled after maybe a first down or something. I don't have a problem with it. I do think, you know, if the reported figure 2 years, $4 million, that seems like a lot for a punter, when I think that's a position you can solve via undrafted free agent market for a lot cheaper. But the Bears also are not in a cap bind right now. So ultimately, this is a deal where I'm just kind of like, sure, that makes sense.
You know that when those Silicon Valley types that always wear the same thing every day so they don't have to waste energy on picking out what they wear.
T-shirt, jeans?
Right.
You were just out there. So
they can divert all their energy into like more important things. This is what this feels like. The Bears are just doing their due diligence so they can move on to more important
things. Richard Hendricks outfit.
Right. They're black turtleneck and New Balances.
I mean, it's fine. Yeah. Like that's what I said like a couple weeks ago. I was just like, when we were talking about the possibility, I was like, it's fine. Like, I don't know what the punter market is like. I haven't done any sort of deep dive into punters. I was like, you kind of know what you have, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't shank a punt in a huge situation again next year.
Right.
But, it's fine.
I mean, look, O'Donnell's been here for a while. He's one of the last remaining holdovers from the Phil Emery era, one of the last remaining draft picks from the Phil Emery era. I think it's not like I'm going to sit here and tell you that Pat O'Donnell should not be back. The Bears looking at, I'm just pulling up their punt return coverage stats here. So the Bears, I can't find it on NFL GSIS, and I actually don't really care to continue diving this deep into it.
We had the Patriots, was not a good day.
But you know what? That was mostly because Ben Broniker got his feet tangled.
Right.
It wasn't O'Donnell's fault.
Right.
I think just anecdotally, the Bears' punt coverage is pretty good. Sherrick McManus especially is a really good guy to get downfield.
Josh Bellamy, he left.
Bizzo did leave. Pour one out for my dude Bizzo, apparently. That's now a running joke on the Bears beat that Bezos is my dude, because I wrote a feature story on him in December, which I'll fully take the credit for that one. I think we don't need to spend a whole lot more time on the punter, but it was a box that Ryan Pace had to check off. Bears are probably going to be okay sticking with Pat O'Donnell. It's not like you're just going to go out and find the next Michael Dixon without using a draft pick. The Bears only have 5 draft picks, so there we are.
I'd like to meet someone who is like, oh, I'm mad. I wanted this punter. Like, good for you.
You know what? Okay. Yes, I agree with Cam. If you are listening to this and you are mad about Pat O'Donnell,
please,
you're mad enough
know.
About Pat O'Donnell coming back to make a case for it, send us a tweet, send us an email, do whatever. Please let us know.
We generally want to hear from you.
Hear from you. I'm not trying to minimize this, but it's the punter.
Yeah.
And the Bears, it's usually a position where when things go wrong, you notice it. And the only time I really noticed it was that last punt against the Eagles.
And even that, like a punt, I'm going to go ahead and say 97% sure that a punt is not going to cost the Bears.
Right, play defense.
A playoff game or their season next year.
Yeah,
it's not a kicker.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's where we're at. We're going to end this first segment here and get into some more interesting topics in the second half of the Under Center podcast. So stick with us here on NBCSportsChicago.com.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
All right, we're back on the Under Center podcast. JJ Stankovic, Paul Aspen, Cam Ellis. We're done talking about punters. We're going to move on to edge rushers right now because this is kind of the one area I think the Bears still have to address in free agency with someone who's maybe more than just a guy. I wrote about it on NBC Sports Chicago on Tuesday, just looking at the Bears' options for it. And there still are some guys out there in free agency that have some upside, have some past production. I know, you know, you guys both said you were researching guys to look at for this topic in the rundown, and then I filed the story. So give me some thoughts on some of the guys I mentioned in the story, which just to rattle them off, Justin Houston, Ziggy Ansah, Clay Matthews, down a little bit below, Nick Perry, Shane Ray. We're talking about Pernell McPhee, Connor Barwin, you know, kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. The reason for this, too, was that Aaron Lynch reportedly is taking visits elsewhere than Chicago, including the Seattle Seahawks, per Ian Rappaport. So, yeah, just give me some thoughts on some of these guys you may like or may not like.
Yeah, and I think any of those top three are probably gettable at this point, right?
Really?
I mean, do you think they, like, my theory is that if another team had really wanted to pounce, wouldn't they have?
Yeah, I think the Justin Houston one, I'm going to rule him out just because I feel like a rotational role for him.
Yeah.
He probably wants something more than that, right?
Sure. Although the Bears tweet was weird. Do you see that?
When
they tweeted like list of free agents and they're like, could any of them be Bears? And they just used Justin Houston as a photo, which is kind of a weird thing to do, right?
Because he's the only guy fans have really care about anymore, is the impression I'm getting.
I know you guys are all on the Clay Matthews train, and I'm not opposed, but I mean, so that seems like a very possibility as well.
So Clay Matthews, there's the report last week from Ian Rappaport that he would have some interest in joining the Rams, that Wade Phillips likes him. He's a Southern California guy. Yeah. That would seem to fit more than him being a turncoat and going to the Bears.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so. It's L.A.
It is L.A. Yep. We were just talking about how I never want to see snow again. I was talking about that with Vinny Duber out here in the office. Ziggy Ansah, to me, doesn't make as much sense.
Same.
Yeah.
He's a guy, you know, you look at his production last year, he played 7 games, but he still had 4 sacks.
Yeah.
I think his sack per pass rushing snap ratio is one of the best in the NFL. So he seems like a guy who's probably going to wind up going somewhere where he can start and rebuild his value that way, even though he is on the wrong side of 30. I do think that, you know, Justin Houston is a guy, like you said, Paul, I just don't know if he's going to take that decreased role when he still has been productive, but he may look at it and say, actually, this is better for my body and better for my longevity in the league if I only play 50% of the snaps or 40% of the snaps, because right now you are on that side of 30. And if you want to play, I mean, look at like Cam Wake got a 3-year, $23 million deal from the Titans. Now, granted, that's like essentially a 1-year deal with some options, but that still is a commitment, and Cam Wake's 37.
Right.
So you can play deep into your 30s as a pass rusher, I think, if you just do it in a way where you take care of your body. And then maybe that means for Justin Houston that he's taking a decreased role. I don't know if he's there yet.
Who else you got?
Yeah, I was going to say, if Ha Ha Clinton Dix is taking prove me years, like, could Justin Houston take a prove me year? The age difference is...
Sure.
Yeah, Houston's had more past success. I mean, he has 18 and a half sacks in the last 2 years. Yeah. That's still good production.
Yeah, and Clinton Dix kind of had a down year.
Right.
Whereas Houston didn't.
How do we feel about Shane Ray?
See, it's a complete unknown.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a complete gamble, but I like it for the right value. Like, if you're going to tell me you can give him a Ha Ha Clinton Dix deal, sure.
Right.
I mean, he lost his starting job. He was a healthy scratch at the end of the season. But I would definitely take a flyer on a guy like Shane Ray, right, who could benefit from a change of scenery.
It sounds like he's been sort of connected to the Bears for a couple years now.
It was last year during the joint practices between the Bears and Broncos before the Bears traded for Khalil Mack that it was kind of like, well, the Broncos don't really need Shane Ray anymore. Maybe the Bears could, you know, flip a pick for him or something and go get him to fill out their depth chart. He strikes me as an Aaron Lynch type in that he had some past production. He's dealt with some injuries, dealt with being inactive, like you said, Paul, for the last 3 games of 2018. That's never really a good sign. But if we're talking about a third edge rusher, a guy who's a former first-round pick out of Missouri, someone who can be – he still has something. He's still young. So that would fit more with what they were looking for in Aaron Lynch last year. Now, granted, Aaron Lynch had the connection with Vic Fangio. So I don't know. I mean, I threw Parnell McPhee and Connor Barwin in here. I would love personally, professionally, a reunion with Parnell McPhee because I love talking to that dude in the locker room. Connor Barwin, a guy who's probably over the hill. He was a rotational guy with the Giants last year, only had one sack. The other option is that Ryan Pace just doesn't do anything.
I got one more name for you.
Okay.
What do you got?
Derek Morgan, okay. 30 years old, former Titan. He had a knee issue for most of 2018 that he played through. He only had half a sack last season. But in the previous six seasons, he had 40 total, about 6.5 per.
Yeah?
He signed two different contracts totaling about $40 million with the Titans. So if he wants to ring chase, this makes sense. Some other pros, according to Wikipedia, delivered his second child at home. Oh. In 2015, so clutch guy.
Pretty okay,
guy.
He can perform under pressure. Yeah. That's good.
My only knock on him is apparently he became a vegan in 2017. Nothing wrong with that, but, you know, just personal
to
preference.
Each their own, yeah. I suppose, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a bonus, he's from Lancaster, just like Matt Nagy.
Just like Matt Nagy.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm in.
Okay.
Bring him in. Bring him to House Hall. Let's go. Does Matt Nagy know that?
Someone should let him know.
Matt Nagy, I know you're listening to this. He's from Lancaster.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, any other positions out there? You know, kicker, Steven Gostkowski's still out there. I don't think that's really that realistic, but he still is out there.
So do you have to actually pay anyone right now if you sign them? Like, if what are you actually on the hook for a kicker if you quote-unquote sign them? Because I just don't want to throw, like, spend really any more money.
Significant money on a kicker.
I can't imagine they would.
There's
right.
so much money. There's such a huge sunk cost with Cody Parkey there.
Right.
That's why I think what the Bears are doing now is building up to either drafting another kicker or bringing in an undrafted free agent or doing both. Who knows?
That's what I would think.
They could go real big with this during OTAs and then pare it down for training camp and make it a one-on-one deal.
Yep.
I think you're right. I think there are just too many. There's too much money already in that position that to pay a guy to go away. For you to go out and then pay Steven Gostkowski, especially when it is a little weird that the Patriots haven't jumped at re-signing him. That might give you a little bit of pause if you're really all in on Steven Gostkowski.
Can never have enough depth on the O-line.
Yeah.
So that could be, I don't have any guys for it.
Cornerback. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We're talking about guys who are depth guys.
Yeah, I said blocking tight end.
Blocking tight end. Yeah. I think they could use a cornerback to compete with Kevin Tolliver for the backup outside corner job. I mean, this is where we're at in free agency. I just think edge rusher has to be top of that list right now.
I have a list of 20 tight ends that I looked at today that are still out there.
Why?
And I hate them all.
Why?
So I'm not even going to mention one of them.
Paul, why did you waste your time doing
that? No, there was a list already made.
Oh, I need nine more.
If you were doing that kind of research, I would actually be kind of concerned about you, and I might have to alter the rundown. All right, before we get out of here, I want to give an update on the Chicago football madness bracket.
And it is madness.
It is madness. We've got Robbie Gold commenting on it.
Akeem Hicks.
We've got Akeem Hicks commenting on it. We've got Kevin Butler laughing at the fact that some people voted for him instead of Walter Payton.
Right. Roger Bennett, friend of the pod.
Roger Bennett, friend of the
friend of the pod.
From the Blazers.
His own bracket, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Raj had the bald off between Brian Urlacher and Matt Nagy in his final four. If you haven't got involved, check it out. We've got polls that'll be open until 8 p.m. on Wednesday on NBCSportsChicago.com. Go to our Bears page. You can vote there. You can also vote on Twitter. And then after the first round ends, we're going to move on to the next couple rounds. And we'll have voting all the way through the day of the NCAA championship game, which is on April 8th. Right, Paul?
April 8th. April 8th. So we'll close the voting at noon
on the
8th, leading into the national title game that night.
Okay, so as of this morning, these are the five closest margins. And a lot of these are blowouts because the seating committee, Paul, did a good job with it.
So this backs up the way I see it.
It does.
Shock.
The closest matchup as of this morning, number 8, Thomas Jones in the 2006 bracket against number 9, Tommy Harris. That is 51% to 49%. Barely in favor of Thomas Jones. Another good one in the 9-8 matchup in 1985, the Fridge has 59.3% of the votes against Mongo McMichael with 40.7. Sid Luckman and Red Grange going at it, another 8-9 matchup, that is 61.8% for Sid Luckman versus 32.8% for Red Grange. Jay Cutler beating up on Kyle Orton. He's got 2/3 of the votes. Kyle Orton has 1/3 of them.
Cuddy's going to make a run.
Yeah,
Cuddy's going to make a run.
The Renaissance
is run.
So real.
He's
it's
making
happening.
A run. Thank you, very Cavallari.
Yeah.
And then this is how well the seating committee did. The fifth closest matchup right now, Mitch Trubisky, 69.8% of the vote against Vic Fangio, only 30.2%.
I'm surprised by that.
I was at first, and then I thought about this, and people that are voting in these things are going to very passionately back up Trubisky and are probably
we need him to be
right,
good.
Right. And they're mad at Vic right now because he bounced. So you put those two and two together, it makes sense. But yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, wow, that is not what I expected.
Guessing it's a good thing we don't have Adrian Amos in there, I guess.
Yeah. He'd be getting fewer votes than Cody Parkey, who, by the way, as of this morning, Khalil Mack is 99.1% of the votes. Cody Parkey has 0.9% in that 16-versus-1 matchup.
It means people have voted.
Show yourself.
Once again, though, just to make one more point about the selection committee, the biggest upset so far, perhaps maybe the only upset we will see, number 10, Robbie Gould, 83.8% of the vote against number 7, Alex Brown, 16.2%. AB has got to do some more politicking because he is getting his ass kicked right now.
And he was worried about this matchup. I mean, he told us he was worried about it. And I mean, I see why. And he had, so to your point about politicking, he has just tweeted, come on now, 2006. Robbie was still a pup back then. Career, he wins. He's the greatest kicker in Bears history, but we are only talking about 2006. Hashtag vote 9-6.
Yeah, you got to hear something. 16 is a tough number. 16 is a tough number to rise up from.
The problem for AB is that the Bears' pass rush is so good that I don't think people are saying, we got to get AB back on the field. The Bears' kicking situation is so bad. I think a lot of this vote is people wishing that Robbie Gould didn't get franchise tagged by the 49ers, and please come back. We love you.
I was going to ask, like, they know that he got franchised, right? Like, this isn't a
ploy
anymore.
Details. Hey, Robbie getting his name out there, saying people got to vote for him, which, again, Robbie didn't have to go politicking for himself, good for him for getting involved. We really thank everyone who has gotten involved so far and who will get involved in the future on this, because we're having a lot of fun with this.
It's been a lot of fun.
I hope we're not, like, tearing apart lifelong friendships here on all these great chemistry teams.
Vinny Duber, our White Sox writer, texted me calling me an idiot for having Devin Hester in my final. He had Devin Hester losing to Adewale Ogunle in the first round.
It's tearing us apart.
Oh, I didn't keep my bracket straight.
Yeah,
he's a big OG guy.
Well, he said he was voting up based on the jerseys that he had from the 2006 team. So Vinny Duber, big Adewale Ogunle guy.
Take to Twitter.
Yeah. There's another, you know, David Kaplan had a 3-14 upset. He had Otis Wilson beating Mike Singletary in 85.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of buzz.
Arguably more buzz than the NCAA tournament itself.
Yeah.
I agree.
I filled out this bracket with a lot more gusto than I filled out my NCAA bracket, which was me blindly throwing darts at a board and picking Murray State to make the Final Four because I know one player on their team.
John Morant.
Hey, there we go.
All right, we're going to end it there. Remember, you can get involved in Chicago Football Madness on NBCSportsChicago.com and on our Twitter at NBCSBears. We will be back next week. I will be in Arizona, so take that, guys, for the league meetings.
You win.
It's like the
in
same
Phoenix.
Here. So.
Yeah, it is like the same here.
I see 50 this weekend. Yeah. I'm thrilled.
That's great. I cannot wait to get in 70-degree temperatures in Arizona. But, yeah, I'll be there. Next week we will have we'll hear from Matt Nagy at the coach's breakfast. We'll hear from Ryan Pace likely. We'll also likely hear from George McCaskey down in Arizona. So plenty to talk about next week. And maybe some more free agent signings. Who knows? We'll see where it goes. We'll be all over it here on the Under Center podcast. So stick with us then, and we'll talk to you next time.